Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. My name is David Law. It is Middle Sunday at the French Open. Unlike Wimbledon, there's no day off on Middle Sunday, unless you're not working there, which I'm not. Catherine Whittaker is. How's your day been, Catherine?
It's been very good, David. I think, as I said in yesterday's podcast, if I don't have to wear a Eurosport rubber Packamack all day, I can count it as a good one. So, yeah, it's been a good one.
Excellent. Well, there's been absolutely bagfuls of stuff going on. As we record this right now, Novak Djokovic is currently on court against Albert Ramos Vinolas and is in charge. It was a tight old first set, though. Tie break, and it did look a bit hairy. I understand Andre Agassi's not around at the moment. What's going on?
Andre Agassi isn't around. Apparently, he's headed off on a South African safari, which sounds just lovely. We should all be so lucky. He made it clear to Djokovic when he signed up for their coaching relationship, or whatever you want to call it, that family would always come first for him. He had this holiday booked and didn't want to move it, and Djokovic was okay with that. I still do find it odd. I do find it odd that there's this sort of amazing, much talked about, supposedly revolutionary coaching relationship, and you've got him leaving halfway through. This is when Djokovic needs him most. Of course he'll be on the phone and all the rest of it, but we've talked about the fact that a lot of the coaching is about the peacocking and the seeing him up there in the box and wanting to show off to him, and that's not going to be the case, is it? So look, I'm sure Agassi will continue to have influence from afar, but I do find it a bit bizarre, the thought that Djokovic might, you know, play a semi-final against Nadal and his coach won't be there.
Yeah, well, certainly his new arrangement won't be front and centre in quite the same way. Although he did say, didn't he, was it Mats Wilander? He told and Boris Becker on the Eurosport team that he was going to be at Wimbledon. So this is an enduring
partnership. He said, what he actually said was, I'm up for Wimbledon. What he said was, I've told Novak that I'm up for Wimbledon, that I'm keen, I'm loving it, I really am enjoying being back in tennis, etc., etc. He didn't actually confirm that Djokovic had accepted the offer. Look, I'm sure he will. I've got no reason to think that he won't at all, but that is explicitly what he said. He said, I'm keen, I've told him I'm up for Wimbledon if he'll have me.
Okay, well, I think that's probably, as you say, likely to happen, because, I mean, you don't turn down Andre Agassi, do you? I wouldn't have thought.
And also, David, just a final note on the matter, something that Mats Wilander and I didn't touch upon in our live segment yesterday on Eurosport, which we played into the Tennis Podcast. What he did, I asked him outright whether he thought Agassi was Djokovic's first call or whether he might have called Sampras first. And Mats had no insider track on it all, just his opinion. His opinion is that Agassi was probably his first call.
Yeah.
Well, and therefore no further calls were made.
So all of our speculation goes out of the window that we'd love to
do. Well, exactly. I know. All those people sat by their phones waiting for a call that never came.
I know. I was waiting. I mean, you know, I thought I could have done a great job.
You'd have done
job.
It for free as well, wouldn't you, David?
Well, you know, taxi fares maybe. and just a couple of
an expenses only deal for David Law to coach Andre Agassi. You know,
burger here and there.
I'm not profile. That's what everyone keeps saying, that this will boost Agassi's profile. I think his profile's all right.
Really needs that, doesn't he? he's well in charge, is Djokovic. Two sets to love up against Ramos Vinolas as we speak, and I'm sure by the time you listen to this, he'll be safely through to the next round. On the court today, earlier on, the match that really caught my attention, I think many people's attention, the fact that Garbiñe Muguruza, the defending champion on the women's side, knocked out by Kristina Mladenovic in a pretty raucous atmosphere. An atmosphere, Catherine, which I said on Twitter at one point made me feel just a little bit uncomfortable. Now, that's a bit rich coming from me, given that I'm always talking about how I like to see a bit of aggro on the court, and I do love an atmosphere. I think it is part of the Roland Garros appeal that it gets like that. But I don't know what it was, but something about it made me feel a little bit uncomfortable. It was so partisan, so in favour of Mladenovic. She was orchestrating it. Fair enough to her, and on many levels, but I still felt a little bit uncomfortable. But a fabulous performance from Mladenovic to come through.
Yeah, look, it made me a bit uncomfortable as well, and I felt for Muguruza deeply on a sort of human level. However, I do think that is just one of the features that makes this Grand Slam. It's one of the things that makes winning it so tough and so unique. You know, everywhere has its different challenges, and I think the fickle, animated, sometimes raucous French crowd is a big part of that. It's something you have to deal with if you're going to win the French Open. And I think what was tough about it is that Muguruza is popular here. She was a popular champion last year. She's not used to having that atmosphere against her. She's been used to having it in her favour, and it was really tough for her today. I think most people would have found it tough. I spoke to Alex Karecha on a Facebook Live earlier, which has been shared on the Tennis Podcast Facebook page if you want to catch up with all sorts of nonsense that I was talking with Alex Karecha and Mary Pierce earlier this evening. I asked him about the finger wag, the now already notorious finger wag that Muguruza did towards the crowd as she walked off court. They were cheering her off the court, and she wagged her finger towards them in quite an aggressive way. And Alex Karecha, and I fully believe him, thinks that what she was expressing there was, don't cheer for me now. Where were you when I needed you? You weren't there. You weren't cheering for me then, so don't cheer for me now. I'm not interested. And he actually told a story about how he was playing about in his French Open final here when he played Guga Quirt, and he had beaten Sebastian Grosjean in the semi-final. He was playing Guga in the final, and he was a set and 5-1 down or something. He was really in dire straits, and they'd been cheering for Guga throughout, which he was completely fine with. But then suddenly, when he was completely down and out and he was a thorough, you know, long shot underdog, the French crowd started cheering from him, and he put his finger, Alex Karecha, the nicest man in the world, put his finger to his lips and shushed them. And that it was exactly, he said, what he was expressing in that moment. It was, what's the point now? Where were you when I needed you? And I felt like that was a very insightful, enlightening explanation. And if there was any doubt about how difficult Muguruza did find the whole experience in press earlier, she decided to come to a press conference very quickly, which I'm sure made all the journalists rub their hands together, because it means you're probably going to get some good quotes. But I think it was a bit of a rash decision, because she got in there and she broke down into tears pretty quickly. And I'm not sure who from the ITF was moderating that press conference, but pat on the back to whoever it was, because they actually asked her if she wanted to go out of the room and just take a few moments to compose herself, which she did do, and then went back in and faced all of the questions admirably, by all accounts. So it's just a tough pill to swallow for Muguruza, but a fantastic performance from Mladenovic in spite of, how many double faults was it, 18, something like that, to win a match against the defending Grand Slam champion hitting 18 double faults is quite something. I just one side point, it feels like an irrelevance now, but when the order of play came out late last night, everybody here raised an eyebrow about that match being put on Longlen, and everybody that I've spoken to about it on air and off air is convinced that Mladenovic requested to be on Longlen rather than Cheche for crowd-based reasons, for pressure-based reasons, for whatever reasons. She plays her best on Longlen, but I don't think she's going to be able to get away with that anymore. She's going to have to play her next match on Châtre, I believe, and that's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, well, we see a little bit of that in Australia, don't we, with Nick Kyrgios. He always wants to play his matches on the Hisense Arena because it just sort of suits him for whatever reason. Yeah, I sort of saw a few of the quotes from Muguruza in that press conference as well. She sounds as though she was getting some pretty unpleasant things said to her during the course of that match. But as you say, that is the way it is. And she won the title last year in spite of that. So, you know, I feel for her, but that's just the way it is. And as you say, hats off to Mladenovic, who now goes through to face Tamea Bachinski, who had a fabulous win today over Venus Williams. A strange old scoreline, because Bachinski went into, I think, a 5-1 lead, somehow then lost the next six games to Venus Williams, but then dominated the next two sets and Bachinski through.
Yeah, there's not many that would necessarily be able to come back from losing a 5-1 lead and going on to lose the set. So very impressive. That's three straight quarterfinals here now for Bachinski. She just lights up when she comes to the French Open, which, considering this time 2.5 years ago, she had decided to give up tennis altogether, and it was only a last-minute called to say your lingering ranking has got you into French Open qualies, chucked her rackets in the back of the car and thought, why not, I'll just give it a go, one last hurrah. Then she makes the semi-finals. I mean, yeah, considering that, she's pretty amazing. And it's not been a good year for her either. She's had some injuries, she's had a lot of struggles. I'm not sure many people thought she'd be able to repeat what she's done in previous years this year, but she has, and she's done it by beating the person that at that stage was the last remaining Grand Slam champion in the draw. And now there are none, David, there are none, because Sam Stosur has gone out as well to Yelena Ostapenko of Latvia. I actually spoke to Ostapenko's coach yesterday, Annabel Medina Garrigues, and she's very interesting and insightful about trying to tame young Ostapenko, because she's so fiery and so exciting, and you don't want to extinguish the flame, do you? You just need to sort of harness it in some ways, and I'm quite sure that she will. And she did do today against Sam Stosur, many people's dark horse for the title. So we now have a situation, David, where one of Ostapenko, Bachinski, Mladenovic, and one other who I've forgotten, give me another name, David, Wozniacki, who we haven't touched upon yet. One of those four will be a finalist here.
Yeah, so we will have a new Grand Slam champion on the women's side. That is for sure, because in the other half of the draw, you've got Elina Svitolina, Petra Martic, Carla Suarez-Navarro, Simona Halep, Caroline Garcia, Alize Cornet. Somebody I've never heard of, I don't think, or seen play before.
Geppetto Roig.
Yeah, that's the one, against Karolina Pliskova. And none of these players have ever won a Grand Slam title, so we're going to get a new winner.
Yeah, I love the thought of that. I love that we know that this early. I mean, it's amazing to be in the fourth round of a slam, only midway through the fourth round of a slam, and to know that you're going to see not just a new champion at this slam, there are no Grand Slam champions left in. I'm quite sure Twitter has already told us whether that is an unprecedented circumstance or not, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't, frankly.
Well, Twitter hasn't told me that yet anyway. What I will remind you, though, Catherine, do you remember about 3 weeks ago when I said to Mayor Bachinski might be one of the five? She didn't end up being one of the five, but she might have been. Remember that?
Yeah, you don't get credit for that, David. She wasn't right. One of the five. Did you have her in your predictions to reach the quarters?
No. Do you remember when I said that Svetlana Kuznetsova would win the title?
Yeah, I do remember that. Yeah,
that's not
weird performance from her this morning. It was weird. The match was weird. Wozniacki was sensational. I have to say, she's hitting her forehand better than I've ever seen her. She's taking it earlier and just looking to be more aggressive. Which credit to her to still be, you know, making tweaks and improvements and adjustments to her game. She feels like she's been around ages. I know she's not exactly a grand old dame of tennis, but good on her. It was a subpar, flat performance from Kuznetsova, without question. I was disappointed in her. You let me down, Kuznetsova, because I had her reaching the final. as well. So, Wozniacki, big opportunity for her.
I tell you, her against Yelena Ostapenko could be a good, fun match, because Wozniacki doesn't take a backward step from anybody, and Ostapenko is, if you've never seen her play before, she is feisty and she is funny to watch, because she will let you know what she's feeling at every single stage of the match, and a huge talent as well. I mean, she really hits, she will go for it. We'll have her on the attack, we'll have Wozniacki running down impossible looking balls. I think we're in for a real treat with that one. So those are the women's results today. On the men's side, Rafael Nadal just carrying on. I mean, I think he's lost fewer games on his way to the last, what is it, the last 16 he's into now? Or is
no,
it the quarterfinals?
Finals.
So quarterfinals. He's lost fewer games in reaching the quarterfinals than he's ever lost before at the French Open.
No, that's not quite. You're very close, David. You're very, very close. He's lost 20 games in his four matches. There was one year where he only lost 19. I think that was 2009, something like that. But anyway, it's much of a muchness, isn't it? It's basically as dominant as he's ever been in week one of a slam. And I feel like we could just edit out what we said about Nadal after his last match and replay it into this podcast, because he continues to be completely awesome. And I hope no one else in the draw is watching his matches, because it must put the fear of God into them all.
Yeah, and frankly, in many ways, his next opponent is far more of an interesting story just at this stage of the tournament, because he's never been to the quarterfinals. That's Pablo Carreño Busta.
Yeah, and he's got there the hard way, hasn't he? Beat Milos Raonic in five sets, nearly 4.5 hours. He served for the match, I think, twice before, at least once before he ended up serving it out. And even in the game, when he did finally serve it out, Milos Raonic had break back points. He was pretty heartbroken, Raonic. The comeback, the plight to get back to sort of the top of the game after the various injuries that he's had continues. But a really emotional Pablo Carreño Busta after the match. He spoke to Spanish Euros, but I can't tell you exactly what he was saying, because my Spanish is
rubbish.
Not up to much. Yeah, it's better than my Korean, David. I had to do an interview with Hyung Chung the other day, and yeah, it's definitely better than my Korean. But I mean, the emotion was there for all to see, whatever the language. It was a really, really big moment for him. The question, of course, is what's left in the tank. And I'm not sure you can afford to have anything but a full tank or canister, if you will, when you're taking on Nadal in this form. But very well done to him today.
Indeed. We now also know who Andy Murray's going to play in the next round. Bit of a surprise, because John Isner, who's been in pretty decent form of late, lost in four sets to a Russian player, Karen Khachanov. I think that's how we say it.
No, it's not how we say it, David. I must intervene, because there was much chatter about this in the commentators' cafe earlier. I was asked to confirm. I thought it was Khachanov. I checked in with a friend of mine that works for the ATP, and she had happened to have asked him the day before, and she was able to send me an audio file of Karen Khachanov saying his own name.
Say it again.
Almost literally from the horse's mouth, except that he's not a horse. But it's Karen Khachanov.
So I don't pronounce the K. Hence why sort of Brad Gilbert nicknames him Silent K.
Well, exactly. Karen Khachanov from the horse's mouth.
Okay, fine. Anyway, what do we know about him? He's massive. Isner massive, but boy, does he hit the ball hard.
He is enormous. He's just turned 21 years old. He is a member of the ATP's hashtag Next Gen and has been for a while. He has lived in Barcelona for a long time. He is coached by Gallo Blanco, former quarterfinalist here at the French Open. 1997, I think, was the year he made the quarterfinals here.
And former coach of Milos Raonic, too.
Former coach of Milos Raonic. He trains with Gallo Blanco in Barcelona and has done for quite some time. Lovely chap, really nice, quite serious, quite earnest, obviously really hardworking, looks older than his age, looks bigger and stronger than most 21-year-olds. I think he's the real deal. Whether he's the real deal tomorrow against Andy Murray remains to be seen, especially as he won't have had a rest day. But good luck to him. And one day soon, he'll be winning Grand Slam fourth-round matches and more, for sure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Yeah, he's an exciting player. I have to say, I think things have fallen quite nicely for Andy Murray. And, I only wish that when I said to you about an hour before we finally sealed our predictions, I wish I had gone ahead and said, I think I'll change my mind about Andy Murray reaching the quarterfinals. Because I'm going to end up being wrong, Catherine, aren't I?
Yeah, and actually, you were permitted to change your prediction. You were. And you still decided against. Yeah.
I messed it up. So there we are. I still can't believe that Alexander Zverev isn't playing him. So that's where things have fallen down. But even so, I think I've massively underestimated and forgotten just how good Andy Murray and the other top players are at the Slams. They are different. Best of five, this is where they peak. This is where they get super motivated. There's a difference. I mean, maybe Khachanov will find a way to beat him, but I just can't see it. This is the sort of match that Andy Murray wins, and I think he's going to carry on.
Yeah, I can see him making a match of it. Second on Chatrier tomorrow. I actually thought they might put that one on Longlen, because Andy Murray's only been on Longlen once so far. Rafael Nadal has been out there twice. I thought they might put that one on Longlen and possibly put Nishikori against Verdasco on Chatrier tomorrow, because I don't think Nishikori has been on Chatrier so far. But look, it's a cracking match. I'm delighted for Khachanov that he's going to get his Chatrier debut. And I think he could make it exciting. I think he could make a match of it. But I don't think he's going to win.
I'll tell you who else looked really good today is Dominic Thiem. I mean, it does feel like... I mean, I think he's got a little bit fortunate not to have to play David Goffin, personally, because I think Goffin...
Who you predicted to beat Thiem at this stage.
I personally think that Goffin has the ability to do to Thiem what Novak Djokovic does to Thiem in terms of taking it early and so forth.
He didn't hear last year, did he?
He got injured. What happened last year?
Well, Thiem beat him.
Did he? Oh, well,
Thiem
yeah, but Goffin got revenge.
Finals in the it was a match for the top 10. The winner of the match got a place in the top 10 for the first time.
Goffin would have turned that around this time, for sure. as I predicted, until fate intervened.
We don't deal in hypotheticals here in the Tennis Podcast. I mean, we do all the time, but not today, David, not today.
Okay. Well, anyway, he looked fantastic. So tomorrow's play starts with Carla Suarez Navarro against Simona Halep. That could be a test, I think, of the physical state of Halep. Because, I mean, so far, I haven't seen too many of her matches, but, I mean, this is somebody who rolled her ankle in that Rome final and was calling herself 50-50 on the eve of the tournament. I just wonder whether there was there any kidology in that, do you think? I mean, or was she just slightly downplaying her physical chances? Because I certainly believed it, because she went from my favourite for the tournament to losing in the quarters.
And yeah, I felt a bit taken in as well, because I watched her practice the day after she made that announcement about only 50-50, being 50-50. And as I said on the podcast, I think, okay, she wasn't, you know, fully testing the ankle and really going for it, but she didn't look like somebody that had just, you know, semi-broken their ankle, that's for sure. She looked pretty okay to me. So, yes, I think it could have been gently exaggerated for the purposes of minimising pressure on shoulders, which I think is very understandable, because that's a big feature of Simona Halep's challenges for Grand Slam titles, isn't it? So I think she could be pushed by Suarez Navarro. I do think she'll win, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's first up tomorrow. Then it's Andy Murray against Khachanov, the match that you were referencing. All of these matches, of course, live on Eurosport. After that, it's Stan Wawrinka against Gael Monfils, which will be interesting. Monfils just quietly coming through the draw, benefited from Richard Gasquet getting injured today, didn't he? And he had to pull out. Stan Wawrinka, I think, has looked pretty good throughout. And then we've got this Garcia against Cornet match.
He's looked more than pretty good, David.
Has he?
He's looked awesome. Yeah, as I said to Simon on the podcast yesterday, I don't know what that means, because we're not used to seeing Stan Wawrinka look this awesome in the first week of a slam. I don't know whether that means he's peaked too early. I've no idea what's to come. The prospect of Stan Wawrinka continuing to get better is a fearsome one. And at the moment, he's the only person I've seen that I think could really give Nadal a run for his money. But they wouldn't meet to the final, so let's stop dealing in hypotheticals.
Indeed. You spoke to Patrick Mouratoglou earlier today, didn't you, about Caroline Garcia and Elise Cornet. What's the deal there? Because they're playing each other tomorrow. And not everything in the garden's rosy, is it?
They hate one another. That seems to be the bottom line. And aren't afraid to make that as public as possible. Yeah, they fell out massively over Caroline Garcia's decision to exempt herself from Fed Cup selection. There were attempts to sort of reconciliation from one side to another via text, which was completely rejected. Garcia was asked whether she would, jokingly asked whether she would have a coffee with Cornet after the match, and she said, "I won't have one before and I certainly won't have one after." And they seem to completely hate one another. I mean, Garcia, it has to be said, is not hugely popular with any of the French players. She's got beef with Mladenovic, or rather perhaps more so the other way around, but they have beef with one another over the way that Garcia chose to end her doubles partnership with Mladenovic. Very successful doubles partnership. They were champions here last year, and Garcia put a rather abrupt end to that. So she's not making friends and influencing people here in Paris, and that one is going to be spicy. Watch out for it. I know you might think, oh, Elise, you know, they're not the biggest names in tennis. They're not necessarily Grand Slam champions in waiting. But I pretty much guarantee that'll be a match that you won't be able to take your eyes off.
Any idea whose side the crowd will be on in that?
I think more likely Cornet's, all other things being equal. But I think it might depend on their behaviour on the day. They're so fickle, aren't they, the French crowd? It's all in the moment. They sort of make their mind. They can turn on a dime, as an American person might say. So I think all other things being equal, Cornet. But it really depends on what happens. And frankly, anything could happen.
Indeed. We've also got Elina Svitolina quietly moving through the draw up against Petra Martic on the Susan Longlong court. Verdasco against Nishikori. That will be interesting. I think Verdasco's got a real shot at that one, personally. I'm not sure about Nishikori's health. He's had that wrist problem.
I agree, and I think Nishikori has got out of jail a little bit by his match yesterday being hung over to today, because Hyung Chung had him. He certainly had him up against the wall, and they came back today, and Nishikori was able to regroup and recover physically for it. But I think the weather got him out of a little bit of jail time there. So, I think you might be right. I think Verdasco might get that one.
A little mention here just on the men's doubles quarterfinals. Jamie Murray and Bruno Suarez. Jamie Murray getting further at the French Open this year than he's ever got before, up against Santiago Gonzalez and Donald Young. So good to see Jamie Murray winning through. I think Dominic Inglot was a winner earlier today as well. Catherine, anything else to report from, I don't even know what day it is, day eight, is it, of the French
day
Open?
Day eight of the French Open 2017. I don't think so. I think we've just touched on every single singles result from today. Apologies if we haven't, but I think we might have. It's getting to that stage of the tournament where we can do that now. It felt like in the podcast early on it was just impossible to give everything the time it deserved. You know, we had a couple of people on Twitter saying we didn't go into enough detail on Ons Jabeur and the wonderful story that was, and I completely agree. She was a magnificent story and she probably deserved more time, and I'm sorry, but it's been a glorious French Open for stories, and we're trying to cover them all. We're doing our best, we'll continue to do our best.
Karolina Pliskova hasn't even had a mention. She's the highest seed left in the draw.
She's got a great draw.
Who is this
playing tomorrow, David? Go on. Chepede Roig.
Yeah, so what do we know about her from Paraguay? Any inside goss?
No, I mean, I've heard of her. I can't tell you loads more than that. If you've not heard of it, it's a memorable name, I think that's why.
Well, I tell you, I'm going to watch tomorrow and find out all I can and read up overnight. But yes, apologies everybody. I don't know very much about her. Just finally, where we are now, obviously all of our predictions have just gone to pot, pretty much.
Speak for yourself, David. Speak for yourself.
Who did you say would win the women's title?
Halep.
Oh, crikey. So, do you still feel as strongly that she will win the title from here? I mean, based on what you've seen.
So I never felt it strongly, David.
But strong enough to say it?
Well, I was forced to say it. I'm embroiled in a tennis podcast predictions competition, I've been assured there is no exit path.
Having seen the way the week was going on, I started to get a lot less confidence in Svetlana Kuznetsova, to be quite honest. Do you feel any
what,
less?
What with her losing and everything? Yeah, I did
that.
Too. I feel as strongly as I did at the start of the tournament, which is not that strongly, but I haven't lost any faith in her either. I still think she's the marginal favourite in a tournament that doesn't really have favourites anymore. It's just it's a free-for-all.
It's good fun, though. I'm really enjoying it. I think you're right. I think this whole second week is going to be absolutely fabulous. So looking forward to every single twist and turn of it. Don't forget, you can watch Catherine and all the coverage from the French Open on Eurosport over the next week. There's also the Eurosport Player, which has a special tennis pass offer running for the UK only just at the moment. Ends on 11th of June. $39.99 gets you access until the 31st of January 2018. You can follow the French Open, the British grass court season, Wimbledon. There'll be US Open and the Australian Open, of course, on the Eurosport Player. You get multiple courts to watch as well, and then you even get Catherine Whittaker to watch sometimes on the telly, which is what I've been doing from
just while we're on the subject of the Eurosport Player, I just have a little a very sweet Dad Whittaker story to tell you. My dad is coming to the French Open tomorrow, so hello Dad, if you're listening and brushing up on what's going on in the tennis ahead of your visit. But I asked him why he didn't have a Eurosport Player subscription. I said, Dad, come on, you love tennis and you're blooming daughter's on it. Come on, get your act together. And he said he was waiting to subscribe until the French Open because he wanted them to notice an upswing in subscriptions when I was on.
An upswing of one. It's definitely down to Catherine.
I don't know how few subscriptions he thinks there are that make the difference.
And the latest subscriber has got the same surname.
That story very much.
Excellent. Oh, very good, Catherine. Well, darkness is descending in Paris. I can see that on my TV right here with Novak Djokovic, 2 sets to love up and 4-2 up in the third set. He looks like he's on his way to victory. We've got more tennis to enjoy over the next week on Eurosport, on BBC Five Live, if you want to listen to that as well. And if you want to listen to the tennis podcast, we're going to try to be here with you one way or another every single day. Catherine's been doing a sterling job. 8 days in, she hasn't missed a trick so far. Catherine, go and get some sleep, and we'll speak to you tomorrow, won't we?
Apparently so.
We will indeed. So come back and join us on the Tennis Podcast. Follow us on Twitter. Leave us an iTunes review. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram. We've even started Instagram. Do all of that, and we'll be back with you with another Tennis Podcast very soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.